This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'd like to welcome to the Radio Cafe Edward Applebaum. He's a composer. He's author of the book Unfolding the Unconscious Psyche, Pathways to the Arts. And he will be here in Santa Fe this weekend with the C.G. Jung Institute. He's giving a talk on Friday night, the 13th of November, and a workshop the next day. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
You are here with the C.G. Jung Institute. You are a composer. Tell us about your relationship, your connection as an artist to the work of the great psychiatrist and thinker Carl Jung.
Well, the two for a long time weren't terribly related. I started out as a jazz pianist and then moved through conducting on the way to composition, which I did for decades. And in the meantime, I was in Australia. I had gone down there to be a dean, and the dean's job was really boring. And they had a really wonderful analytic training school there. It was based on the London Tavistock Clinic. And so to relieve my boredom, I studied to be an analyst. And when I came back to America, I realized I would have to do all the studies all over again to become certified to practice in America. So I decided, well, I'm going to keep the interest going, but how can I keep the interest going and remain as a composer? And the two began to blend together when, I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I had always taught interdisciplinary seminars in graduate school, both in California and in Florida and now in Houston, and decided, well, okay, this sounds really interesting to do, and I think I'll do some reinvention and see how this works out. And to my surprise, after 3 long years, Rutledge accepted the book, and here it is, and here I am.
I was wondering, what is your understanding of the idea of the unconscious as it relates to music? I mean, how is a composer's unconscious mind manifested in music, music being a fundamentally abstract artistic medium?
Yeah, well, I think all arts are. They're all abstract mediums in different kinds of ways, which is one of the things I'm going to be talking about in the workshops on Saturday. The unconscious manifests itself into consciousness in various kinds of ways, the creative arts being one way, others being, of course, dreams, fairy tales, myths, jokes. I always forget something. I think I sound like our former governor. So the arts are really, they are part of the unconscious, and the job is to, first of all, the task or the problem for me was to create a way of understanding what how the unconscious works in terms of all the things that are down there and how it is that they force their way up into consciousness in one way or another, therapy being one of them. Oh, that's right. Symptoms are part of the unconscious, and it's the uncovering of the symptoms that is the work of psychoanalysis.
You know, art has been around forever, for longer than human civilization and human history, really, if you think about cave art and cave paintings and things like that. And we've only very recently had this concept of the unconscious. How has this concept, do you think, influenced the way people think about art and view art and write about it?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that there was a difference between when art appears and when civilization appears. I think it was sort of simultaneously. But that's a kind of a tricky thing to deal with. You know, it isn't that the unconscious hasn't been around. I mean, it depends on how far back you want to go, especially with the issues of myth and fairy tale onward through, I guess, pre-Renaissance. So even in medieval times, we do have manifestations of art, particularly pictorial art and music, through that time period. And it's only through the interest in the unconscious, although we can see it in some romantic poetry and whatnot. It really, really was something that I think came along with Freud and his immediate predecessors.
Do you think that having this Jungian background, having this concept of the unconscious, has affected the way that you work as an artist, that you compose?
It helped me to understand what it is I'm doing, but I never really was as a composer, and in many conversations with many different artists of all kinds, really interested in my own particular process. My own particular process is sitting down, starting at note one and going to note two, etc. So the self-awareness, to me, as a the creative part of me, was a waste of time. What was important was what it was I was trying to say. To analyze myself in terms of what particular grief or love or et cetera, I was feeling at any particular time, which was coming out in the work of art, the music. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. I think that the artists that I know who I have worked with for so long, it's kind of hard for me to say because I speak for other people, but I don't ever get the feeling that artists who are creating are spending a lot of time on that aspect of it.
No, you think it might be. I would imagine that it would be counterproductive.
Indeed, yes. But there's a rather intricate process, which is what the lecture I'm giving on Friday night is about, is how actually, if you draw a little dialogue on something on the board where you're sort of talking about things that are moving, and you talk about where does it come from, that's usually the question I get. And the answer I always get is, I don't know. I mean, people really think there's an answer to where does your inspiration come from. I don't know. I guess we can trace back and say, well, I was thinking about this or I was feeling something about this, but I'm not sure that that's true for myself or for other people. So the process from feeling that initial inspiration through all the sophisticated transformations that occur when you feel some sort of inspiration and melding it into some sort of form, some sort of medium, and living with that completely amorphous feeling for a while until you actually decide I'm going to use it either as a sculptor or a playwright or a ballet writer to actually create some sort of physical artifact of what I'm doing. And that's a process you go through. Sometimes it can happen in 5 minutes and sometimes years. But once you start on that process of actually creating something, then you're in a different mode. You're in that mode that we kind of learn in school, in a way. We learn how to use the techniques of whatever craft we're working in, filmmaking, etc. And all of that is geared towards creating something that expresses that original instinct, which I so poetically call X. After the artifact is created, it has to be transmitted to an audience, either by itself, a novel, a painting, or something that involves other people, music, ballet, whatnot. And once it hits the audience, then the audience's job, so to speak, or what the audience person is confronted with, is taking what he or she is listening to, viewing, etc., and actually deciphering the same kinds of things that began with X when you were turning things into symbols. Well, the audience perceives these symbols and in some way tries to decipher and decode what has been coded by the creator and hopefully arrive at some manifestation of X.
It's funny because, I mean, my experience of, let's say, going to a classical music concert,
mm-hmm.
as a non-musician, I might mm-hmm. let it wash over me, I might feel all kinds of things, but I don't really experience myself decoding or deciphering.
Of course we don't. That isn't what we feel. I mean, if we have feelings, That's all it takes. The feeling is a manifestation of something that's occurring in our psychological being. And it may be some time later we begin to think about, how did this happen to me? How did I use Gustav Mahler as an example all the time, which is absolutely earth-shattering for me and so many audiences. Or, you know, when you hear, oh, I don't know, there's some great singers I love to hear. I mean, great jazz people I really love to hear. And as a professional, I come away with a very quick apprehension of that. So we all have different ways we apprehend, or we go to a movie. There's some movies I see that just knock me out, and others I think, it's too bad.
Right, and so, and tastes are very different, and the art that a person loves or hates or is indifferent to, that you love or hate or are indifferent to, might tell you a lot about your unconscious. But I find myself wondering, like, what's the value of knowing that? Like, of having that kind of analysis. Oh, I love this movie because it reminds me of something in my childhood or my relationship to my mother or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. if you analyze that, how does it affect your relationship to that work of art? Does it enrich it? Does it deplete it?
I think it might create a relationship to yourself. I think the work of art is the catalyst. I'm not suggesting that everybody who goes to every kind of artistic experience is going to go through a process of analysis. That isn't the way it works. But there are a lot of people who are in some sort of distress and for whom, you know, this process is very meaningful.
You are going to be here in Santa Fe giving a lecture on Friday night and then a workshop on Saturday. What will you be doing in the workshop?
Well, there are two workshops. They're using this idea of the pathways to the arts in two different ways. One is with the novel Tender is the Night, and the second one is a use of, I don't know, paintings gone real. I'm using three painters, I mean, showing some slides or, you know, whatever, of Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, and Edvard Munch. And then at the halfway point, I'm going to take three scenes of Ingmar Bergman's last movie called Saraband and show how the paintings come to life. You know, where we're looking, you know, at a self-portrait of Frida Kahlo, here we're going to be looking at almost self-portraits, I mean, given Ingmar Bergman's visual technique. And you know, sort of discussing, well, how does that differ?
Composer Ed Applebaum, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.